The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Keep your mission on your mind, and your mind on your mission. This is Mission Minded with Michael Coleman.
Keep your mind, your mission on your mind. Michael, I always say that. When I say keep your mission on your mind here in Mission Minded. He's Michael Coleman. He's the CEO of the Heart of Alabama Food Bank. Well, what do you think of when I say that?
Well, I think of having a purpose in whatever you're doing. And so, you know, we started off talking about throwing that out there because we started off this show talking about primarily nonprofits, and nonprofits are built around a specific purpose and a mission. But as we got into this, we realized, well, everybody, you have missions both individually, your goals and what your aspirations of what you're trying to accomplish in your business. But then you also have who you want to impact through your business. And so it is very much, you know, lots of times people say a mission, you kind of think maybe you're talking about, you know, religiously, because there's missionaries and all those kind of things. But really, I mean, it's all about having a purpose and making sure that you are fulfilling what you believe your purpose is, both individually and corporately or in your business.
I think it's turned out to be a perfect title for what this show has turned into, which I'm very, very proud of. And of course, we also have another show called Bite by Bite, which airs right after this one here on Tony Curry Radio on the TKR radio network. Of course, you can listen to both of those shows through podcasts. We're available on every major industry, any podcast out there. You can find us. And of course, also watch us right here on our YouTube channel, on the Tony Curry Radio YouTube channel. So when I'm thinking about mission minded, I'm thinking about businesses. We talk a lot about small businesses. We talk about startups. We talk about things like that. And really, if you go back and listen to a plethora of different shows, there's not a show that we really haven't spoken about not giving up when it comes to the business sense. And I saw this interesting article through Forbes, the key to business success, never give up. Now, I hear this and I see my superstars on football fields and baseball fields and hockey rinks saying, don't ever give up. If you believe in something so stringent and you love it and you want to do it, don't ever give up that dream. And I'm like, okay, that's one type of giving up. But when you're sinking millions and millions of your own dollars into a particular business and you're trying to sell snowballs and, you know, sell snowballs in Antarctica, and you're like, gee, I wonder why this isn't working out. Maybe it is time to give it up. So I want to kind of go through some of these interesting points. It was written by Stephen Davis, who's a CEO from Total Wealth Academy, which is a pretty good organization as well. But his first thing is focus on the solution. When you encounter a problem, you have a decision to make. Will you focus on the problem or the solution? Can you tell me the difference between the problem and the solution and what that biggest the biggest issue is there?
Yeah, so actually, this article is really interesting because just like you said, it all depends on how you're taking this whole topic. I can't help but anytime you start thinking about barriers or overcoming challenges, I think about Nick Saban. Of course, we're down here in Alabama.
Sure.
You know, big fans of Nick Saban. But he talks about it really. It's like what Rocky says, and he mentions it in this article. Then Rocky's talking to his son. It's not how hard you hit, but how hard of a hit can you take and keep going? And so Nick Saban preaches that about everybody's going to take hard hits, and you're going to have challenges, and you're going to have adversaries out there, and you've got all these, you know, and how well can you adapt to take this punch? And so it depends on, again, what angle you're talking about. So let's talk, like you said, on focus on the solution and what the difference is. I have people all the time that come up and they are very frustrated because they've run into a barrier. Now, I think it's worthwhile to say, okay, how did we end up at the barrier? We shouldn't just focus on the barrier itself. Maybe let's figure out how we got there and walk through of how could we have seen this barrier coming, or maybe it was completely unrealistic to have an expectation. Like there was no way to see this coming. We couldn't realize it until we got there and it was right in front of us. That happens. But one of the biggest challenges I have sometimes is once we do that, and I'm like, okay, we've kind of figured out how we got here. Now let's focus on the solution. But lots of times I can't get that person, they get stuck in how they got there. Mm-hmm. So they're focused on the problem and they're not focused on the solution. I'm like, yeah, we've talked about how we got here, and it sucks. Maybe somebody took advantage of it. Maybe somebody did something unethical. Maybe we just met. Maybe the person's beating themselves up. And I'm like, it serves no purpose to keep regurgitating the problem. We know what the problem is. Let's look beyond that and start moving in that direction. And I'm really amazed at how many people struggle to do that. Some people just want to they like venting. They like staying into the negative. They like talking about it. And I'm like, look, we just can't keep reliving this.
Why do you think that is? And that's human nature. I mean, whenever we've been screwed over or we've made a serious, you and I were having a discussion right before the show about a situation that made a decision and moving forward. Is that just a matter of time? Is it history repeats itself kind of thing? Why do you think that is that people have such a hard time moving on?
Yes, I'll give you a good example. We had somebody here who came in and turned out was at a higher level within the organization. Turns out they weren't really what they were presenting themselves to be. Mm-hmm. And so created a lot of problems. Actually, it's not just been one, it's been a couple that have presented some problems that it takes you a while sometimes to really understand that this person is not good for the organization. This person's maybe whether their motives are not right, whether their abilities are not what you thought they were, and you move that person out. And then you start to uncover all this thing that they had, all these things that they had their hands in. So they left kind of in their wake a bunch of problems.
That happens a lot.
Not anything necessarily like so difficult to overcome, just what I call the ankle biters, just the nitinoid things, but you got to clean them up. And it's like, instead of just saying, okay, yes, we know this person left some issues, let's identify what they are, let's sweep them up, let's get them cleaned up, and let's move forward. It's every time we encounter something, we have to go back and relitigate that person's whole time here.
Yeah.
And we have to just go back into trashing somebody, or we go back into, and in part, psychologically, I think part of it has to do with when we highlight somebody else's failures, by comparison, we look good. We don't have to do anything positively if we can show somebody else was failing.
True.
We look good by comparison because we're not that person.
That's a great point.
And so sometimes people can feel good about themselves doing that. But after a while, what begins to happen is no matter where you are, we turn back to the negative. And I think that's ultimately destructive, because even in problems and getting people to focus on what the solution is, to me, that's the difference of focusing on what's positive. Look, we've got a barrier. It sucks. Maybe there were some mistakes made along the way. You know, I'm just all about, well, okay, what do we learn from it? And where do we go from here? Where are we going from here? Now we start moving in a positive direction, a healthy direction, because we're resolving it. To stay where you are or to look backwards all the time keeps you in this negative space. And if your organization does that, you're bringing a lot more negative energy that's actually creating an additional barrier, because now you have to overcome that mm-hmm. and solve the problem.
Yeah, it was a clickbait for me, and I checked it out at Forbes magazine. The article is called "The Key to Business Success: Never Give Up." He's Michael Coleman. He's the CEO of the Heart of Alabama Food Bank. They cover 35 wonderful counties here in the great state of Alabama, and you can be watching him, as a matter of fact, right here on the YouTube channel and on our brand new TV show, ABC 3340, called The Starting Lineup. He's going to be joining us on with some fine folks of his, some friends of his as well. Focus on the solution was the first thing on here. The second thing is, and again, we always speak a few minutes before we get on here, cultivate the right belief in yourself. Some will tell you that succeeding is about being better than everyone else, which you just mentioned. Don't believe it. If you think you're above others, arrogance could ultimately be your undoing. On the other hand, if you believe you're below others, insecurity could be your undoing. So trying to find that middle ground area. The belief you need to cultivate is that you neither are above nor below other people when it comes to your ability to succeed. Talk about how to get that done.
Well, this is the one point he makes in the article that that I would probably give a little pushback on. I understand what he's saying in that you don't want to elevate yourself over others and have to think that you have the solution to all things, because that's certainly not the case. I surround myself with smart people and some that I think are smarter than I am. I'm not threatened by that because they're bringing something to the table that I don't have, which makes our whole organization better. He said, but you also don't want to undersell yourself and about, you know, develop these insecurities. So you want to kind of lead like as equals. And it's a little ambiguous how he lays it out. I kind of think of it like this. I have a quiet confidence in myself. Okay. I don't view myself as being better because I know I have my own weaknesses. Like everybody's got strengths and weaknesses. I have my strengths and weaknesses. But I understand that it's my responsibility to lead the organization, which is to find the right solution. Now, I'm not so arrogant as to think that the solution has to come from me. But ultimately, I have to pull ideas from the team, search ideas, go to outside consultants, whatever it is, because I have to be able to see what is the right solution, what's the best steps moving forward. And so I feel like over time that that's really one of my strengths, is I've been able to develop that, to know. Some people say it's a gut, some people use other things, but when I'm faced with 5 to 10 different solutions, being able to harmonize what the best one is here, because it also harmonizes with the whole direction that we're going. So
much like Nick Saban, I think that takes an enormous amount of strength to actually delegate and find people, places, and things that are underneath you or around you that you can actually utilize to make your organization look better. You don't take credit for those things. I mean, you just went through an entire rebranding with the Montgomery Area Food Bank to Heart of Alabama Food Bank, and it looks fantastic. And obviously you needed a lot of help in a lot of areas that you weren't an expert in those particular areas, but you're the leader of this organization now, and because of that, it makes you look good. And I think that takes a lot of strength to do that, to ask for, you've always been asked for help when you can.
Sure. Oh yeah. Well, and when I was first starting coming up, you know, I tended to drift more to the arrogant side, thinking that I had all the answers or that I had to come up with the answers. And life and my faith has a way of humbling yourself. It has a way of humbling you. And so I've been humbled many times. Now, if you were to ask my wife, she'd say it's because I have so much to be humble about. So that's very true. But no, life, as we go through these challenges, I just recognize, and this really takes a load off me to recognize I don't have to be the smartest person in the room, but I do have to be able to recognize on any given issue who is speaking, who is the smartest person, or who is coming up with the best suggestion, taking that, utilizing it, moving it forward, maybe sharpening the idea to better bring it in tune. And then, of course, giving credit where credit is due and not making sure that it becomes my idea. If somebody points it out, says, oh, that's a fantastic idea, like Heart of Alabama Food Bank, that they said, hey, I love the name. Where'd it come from? And I was like, it was a collaboration. I'm not really sure that one person came up with it, but it was a bunch of names and stuff.
Can you give credit to ChatGPT?
Yeah, we talked about it. I have got tons of good ideas off of AI. So, yeah, I would be glad to give AI credit when I get something from.
My dad would always say, be self-deprecating, not self-defecating. And I never understood what that meant. And I think some people have actually used those words wrong, but he's like, you know, be self-deprecating, look down at, you know, being humble is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking less often of yourself.
Well, you know, nobody likes a guy that comes into a room, and I learned this a long time ago, to make fun of myself, because nobody likes a guy, number one, who thinks they're the smartest person in the room. And nobody likes a guy who loves, and I love to laugh, but imagine if I'm always laughing and as soon as somebody comes at me with something, that, you know, I don't think it's funny. I mean, why are you coming to me like that? But I've taught my children this. I've taught them, teaching my grandchildren. Look, if you're in a group of people, to be able to laugh at yourself is one of the best ways to be accepted by the group, because you're not coming in with pretentiousness. You're just like, look, here I am. And yeah, I've got some things about me that are funny and fun to mock, and I'll be right in there with you. And I said, just lead in there with it. And so it's very true. It's always, self-deprecation is a great social tool to help you fit within any particular group.
All right. According to this article here, and the final thing is, and I, again, I have to read this, because when I hear don't make a plan B, I'm like, what in the world are you talking about? There's always a plan B, is there not? I hate having a plan B for one simple reason. When you have a plan B, it's much easier to give up on the plan A because you have something to fall back on. In fact, I would have saying a plan B can be one of the biggest obstacles to success. Instead of making a plan B, I recommend you make a full commitment to plan A and do whatever it takes to achieve it. I don't think that we all go into, well, maybe we do. Because even, and you're in the military, even when you go onto a field of battle, you're like, okay, if this doesn't work, what's our plan B? You have to have that blueprint, to know how you're going to succeed. So what's your thoughts on this particular idea?
Well, you know, it's funny, because lots of times in the military, when you're sitting down and you're strategizing, and you're like, okay, you know, here's where we are. Here's our objective. Here's how we're going to do it. And they don't usually go over a plan B. The idea is you execute plan A, and you may lose half your guys going in to do plan A, but the goal is you're going to take that hill. Now that's probably more Vietnam, Korea era. Mm-hmm. You know, we have so much technology now. We're shooting missiles over there to take a hill. But there's not a lot of plan B. Well, it's interesting. I kind of think about when I start initiatives, we don't typically build the whole thing and then launch. And some people are wired that way. They want to get all the answers. They want to know everything is foolproof. And then they want to step out in it. And then I'm a guy, for right or for wrong, that likes to build it on the go. And the reason is because I typically don't launch with a plan. I mean, to me, plan B is going back to status quo.
Yeah.
Like if we start an initiative and it just blows up in our face, or the funding falls apart or whatever, well, then we just go back to where we just retreat back to where we were. But what I like to do is get enough of a framework that you can clearly cast a direction, and then you begin to move forward. And when you build it as you go, because you already anticipate, you could sit there for a year. And if you were talking about an airplane, you know, they talk about building while you're flying it. You could build an airplane and you could sit there for a year and think of every possible thing that could go wrong. And you still might have you're still going to have barriers as you go to fly it. To me, you're out there building it as you go. And as barriers come up, you navigate them as they come up. And to me, it's actually much more efficient and effective, because you build momentum, you build excitement, and then it forces you to get out there and actually encounter those barriers. So I totally get when he says, don't make plan B, because when people are not wired that way, and when they hit a barrier, they're like, oh, this is going to be too hard. And so they look at plan B and go, you know what? Plan B is a little bit easier. Yeah. It doesn't require as much work. It doesn't require as much thinking. It doesn't require as much planning. Maybe it doesn't require as much funding. And I think what he's saying is, if you're setting out and you have a vision for something, look, fight through those barriers, because there's nothing worth having it's just going to be handed to you. You're going to have to fight. You're going to have to navigate these barriers and obstacles. And to me, it's better to do it out there as you're going along, rather than just sitting back in port, if you will, or back at the hangar and just trying to anticipate every single thing that's wrong. It's almost as if plan B is, if plan A gets too hard, plan B is a fallback. And I think what the gist of his point is, then people aren't ready to they don't go into it with their full heart and their full mind. And so when they do run into some stuff, they just retreat easily back to plan B.
He writes, I think this is the kind of bold statement that every business leader should make. If you truly want to succeed, accepting that you're going to encounter things that will knock you down, just never accept defeat, which I do think is really smart. And you always talk about there's no failures, just learning experiences from all these things. But if you're going to go into this, let's assume, just when I read this, the first thing I thought of was my business. You know, when you go into a business plan or a startup business, we know that 70% of all startup businesses don't make it past three years. And those 3 points, again, are focus on the solution. They're also cultivate the right belief in yourself and don't make a plan B. I want to back it up since we have just a couple minutes here left. You always talk about if you're starting a business, you want to give yourself the best chance at being successful at whatever that business is. And how do you go about doing that? And that is talk to people, reach out to people, do small group, do whatever it takes, but get in front of people and give them ideas and be willing to accept their ideas or what they think is going to happen with your business. Talk a little bit about that, because I think that's brilliant.
Well, it's a very biblical principle. So when I say don't make a plan B, I don't want people, and that you build it on the go. I don't want people to think that I'm saying act haphazardly. It's a very biblical concept to me, where Jesus goes by, and it's a whole parable about, counting the cost of what it is to build a building. Otherwise, you know, if you just rush out there and you don't even realize what it takes to build it, and then you run out of money, and then people walk by and say, well, here's this part building they started and they ran out. So I'm not talking about haphazardly doing it, but I'm just talking about when you get into the execution, some people are afraid to begin to act. But as you know, I've had a small business, still had it. And there are lots of times you make important decisions. When COVID hit, most of our business, because our business was right there on the interstate on I-65 headed south, and a lot of beach traffic, well, all that disappeared. Mm-hmm. So we had to make a decision. Do we continue to put money in the rent of a building? You know, all the things that it would take when, in essence, we weren't getting very much traffic at all. Or do maybe we go to something online or a hybrid, you know? And so, you know, when it talks about don't make a plan B, I think it's behind the idea of when you set out, you make sure you do your research, you make sure you have your facts, and then you launch out and you don't have something to easily fall back on, but face those obstacles and push through. But in the normal running of a business, obviously, if you're losing money, you've got to have sit back and let me reassess. Well,
sometimes you're creating another plan A, aren't you not? I mean, in your particular case, COVID threw that into a lot of tizzy for a lot of folks. A lot of people had a plan A, didn't want to go to plan B because they never knew there was going to be a plan B until they needed to have a new plan A. Yeah.
I mean, that's a great way to look at it, which is, okay, the business plan that we had is no longer valid not because we miscalculated, but because of COVID. So our business model is now, and so we transitioned to an online business and some clothing booths that we had done. And that was a completely different shift in how we marketed and what product and how much product we got and all those kind of things. So it was like, okay, here's how we're doing business. Okay, well, guess what? COVID shut this down. Now this is the way we're doing business. You're right. It wasn't a plan B. This is no longer working. Now we have to put it in go a different way, or, you know, shut the business down. We couldn't, it wasn't a fallback plan B. It was a readjustment of what our primary plan was.
Can you talk about, though, getting around a close group of very important individuals in your life when you have a business idea and saying, listen, I've got this idea. What do you think?
Yeah. So let me tell you, and this is all coming from experience. When I started, my nonprofit from scratch, the guy told me the very first thing you need to do is do a business plan. And I'd never done a business plan before. And I said, okay, well, what's that about? And he showed me an example of one. And he said, basically, you want to answer every single question about your nonprofit. You want, you know, why is this nonprofit needed? Who exactly is it going to serve? How much is it going to cost? What impact do you hope to make? And so I had 5 guys that I knew would read it seriously, and I sent it out to them. And I said, hey, I want you to red ink this up. If it, if there's any question it doesn't answer, and it came back and it was a bloody mess. I mean, they destroyed it, but it, I mean, they were so right. I had left so many huge gaps in this business plan. And so they brought up all these questions. And so I had to go back and answer them. And that was part of getting the launch right and doing all those things. And it really just sharpened and honed myself, honed my whole plan. And I tell people all the time, everybody, no matter if it's personal things going on in your life, whether it's business practices, whether it's of a spiritual nature, no matter what it is, everybody needs a group. Now, you don't have to have the same group for all of those. You can have a, you know, you can have business professionals that you trust. You can have spiritual people that can be an elder to you or a confidant, you know, or some just an accountability partner. And you can have that in your personal life. So look, it can be all different groups. But yeah, this life, bottom line is this life is too complex to go through on your own personally, spiritually, and professionally.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up. The key to business success here on Mission Mind. And of course, also listen up for Bite by Bite, a show we put on right after this show every single Monday through Friday right here on the Tony Curry Radio Network.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.